Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Salacious Saturday, everybody.
Oh, gosh. I'm like horrified that we are. It's what day is it? I don't even know what day it is.
Today,
it's Friday at 11:05
yes.
p.m.
So, folks, you know, just a fair warning, we are getting very, very busy. And so these things might not be coming out on time.
Rob is using his sex voice filter. Keep going, Rob. Sorry.
I sound like Kathleen Turner.
From like 10 years ago.
For 10 years. I really
she
do.
Came, she came to Little Night Music. She came to the Diary Tell the Story when, like, she came to Little Night Music, you know, the opening party. And, like, I was, they put the five quintet in the back room. And she came back there to be like, I'm going to thank everybody. And so I was opposite her on a table. And she was allegedly heavily intoxicated. And she looked at me and she's like, were you on the show? And I love Kathleen Turner.
Oh, me too.
Oh, and I was like, yes, I was. And I went around the table and I hugged her and she was like clinging. And I was like, yes, I was in the ensemble. And she was like, that's great. Where are the more important people? And we kissed and she left.
Okay, God bless her. Wasn't she the one who was like, when she was doing The Graduate, she was like, every night I eat a whole large pizza from John's Pizzeria.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Right? That was the story about her. That like every night I would eat a large pizza from John's Pizzeria before I went on stage.
Well, now you sound like Lauren Bacall in the coffee commercial.
High point.
Exactly.
This is a low point in my career, but a high point coffee. Right,
I love
Bogey?
The TV's commercial. Yes, exactly. Okay, anyway.
And now a
hello.
Monologue from the mirror has two faces.
Sure.
You ever see that movie?
No.
It's one of the worst movies you'll ever see in your life.
It's a hard no on that one, yeah.
That's a soft no on me.
We want to say sorry for being so late on our deliverance of our Thursday podcast. I can't believe it's been so long.
I'm sorry, folks. But you know what?
Rob, you've had an incredible week.
Yes.
And you're not going to talk about it, so I'm going to make you talk about it. So tell us what you've been doing all week. Tell us again where we can go to buy tickets and – go.
Well, thank you. So the theater company that I've been talking about is now getting underway, and we had all of our auditions and callbacks this week for the three shows. They are Seesaw, No Strings, and A Class Act.
You guys, that's a great season.
Oh,
that's a
you.
Really good season.
Thank you. And Kevin played one of the auditions, which was great. Kevin was in the room, got to play, which is
fun.
Very exciting. He was marvelous, as always. And so it's been very, very crazy, and things are going to get crazier, but we're going to try to do our best. And this is my fault. We're going to try to do our best to stay on top of things and try to give you some sort of entertainment every single week. But yeah, it's very exciting. And if you want to buy season tickets, we're selling them for 25% off, which is great, I think. And you, for $131, you can get to see three shows. And you can go to www.j2spotlightnyc.com. That's J2. The letter J, the number 2, spotlightnyc.com. And you can go on there and you can buy season tickets and come support us. I think it's going to be a really wonderful opportunity.
I'm really, really excited. I was, you guys, I played a day of appointments, and I saw like 100 people come in and sing, and the talent is unbelievable. I'm so excited to see this. I'm so impressed and proud of you, and this is gonna be fun, Rob.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And let's see some No Strings. I've listened to all of the shows this past week. They are. Those scores.
Oh,
I mean,
scores.
Come on. Seesaw. We haven't heard that in New York City in a long time, you guys.
Like, it's not where you start. It's where you finish.
No, I was thinking of my city.
It's such a weird opening song. She won't let me go east. She won't let me go west. Right?
Oh, yes.
It's an odd one.
My
it's
city.
A, but I love it. And if you remember love
Don,
her.
Do you remember Don Pippin telling us the story? And guys, one of the earliest interviews was one of my favorite interviews. We went up upstate New York. We went to a diner and the great legendary music director and vocal arranger and, every musician, Don Pippin, sat with us in a diner and talked to us. But do you remember the story when he talked about how Cy Coleman, he would frustrate Don because Cy Coleman would sit down and write a song. And Cy Coleman, you guys, as you know, is this great jazz musician, and he could write anything and knew all of the keys and all the chords and how they functioned. And so he would just play stuff and write a song. And then he would say, hey, what about this? What about this? And then finally Don Pippin was like, just stick with something. Just give me one melody. Just give me one melody, because it just came. It just poured out of.
That's Coleman. So cool. Oh,
I love that. Anyway,
to be that lucky, to be that lucky,
and Dorothy Fields. Hello.
Oh, I love Dorothy Fields. As you can tell, Lauren Bacall loves Dorothy Fields.
Rob, what is your favorite thing?
Kevin, my favorite thing. Let me pull this up. I am so excited, Kevin. This is new. And what I mean by new is it was only posted on YouTube a month ago. One of my favorite composers is Julie Stein.
I did not know this.
I love Julie
Stein. Speaking of, good segue.
Stein, the overtures. Oh, my God, the overtures of Julie Stein. No one writes better overtures, right? Even from the bad shows, the overtures are amazing. So in the late 1970s, I think this is – what did you say?
The bad shows, because he did go like back and forth sometimes. Like every Hazel Flag, there was a gypsy.
but you listen to those overtures and you're like, oh my God, they're so good.
True.
Thank you for that. So in the late 70s, do you remember Merv Griffin, the Merv Griffin show?
Of course, it's still on my antenna TV. I will still see it sometimes. And there's great clips on YouTube of the Merv Griffin show.
And everyone said Merv Griffin was one of the worst interviewers ever because,
I thought that.
Before the show, most hosts don't want to talk to the guests at all. So when they go on air, it's fresh. They said he would go like in the people's dressing rooms 2 hours before, chat, and then we'd get on TV and they would just stare at each other because he'd already asked everything.
First impression.
But in the 1970s, he did on his show for an hour a salute to Julie Stein. And it was just posted on YouTube. So this is an hour-long Merv Griffin episode called the Julie – just going to type in Julie Stein Salute, J-U-L-E Stein, S-T-Y-N-E, Salute. And this was posted on YouTube a month ago. So it should be fresh to a lot of people. And it's a retrospective of his career with Julie Stein, who comes out and he plays some songs that made him famous. And then they bring out a whole bunch of guests. Sammy Davis Jr., who was in Mr. Wonderful, comes out. Ethel Merman sings a Julie Stein medley. Comden and Green come out and sing If and Captain Hook's Waltz. Phyllis Newman sings From Subways Are for Sleeping. And Marvin Hamlisch, who was the rehearsal pianist for Funny Girl, comes out and plays the Gypsy Overture. And this is when he's like right at the height of his fame. Ethel Merman had just made the Disco album. And so that's talked about as well. So anyway,
1978. Yeah.
So it's really, really wonderful. It's so fun. It's so fun to hear a composer sing their own songs and tell their anecdotes. And of course, Merv Griffin and Sammy Davis Jr. sing a duet together. And that's life. Cause Merv Griffin was also a singer, you know?
Well, I'm sure he liked to remind people whenever he could on his show. Yeah.
The man wrote the Jeopardy theme song. I think we can give him some.
I think that's allowed. I think you're allowed to.
I would love that for somebody to come in an audition and be like, that's my 16 bar cut is the Jeopardy theme song. But anyway, folks, it's really, really.
I'm going to watch that tonight.
It's only an hour long and it's so fantastic. And Julie Stein is so funny and so charming. And Phyllis Newman, who we just lost, she shows up at the end. And like I said, she sings From Subways Are for Sleeping. It's really. really wonderful. And I always love watching Compton and Green perform. Really, I love watching Adolph Green perform. Betty Compton is great, but there's something about Adolph Green's performing style that totally. I'm like, he's always, he's got those big teeth and that big floppy silver hair.
Yes.
And he's kind of like the energy of Richard Kind in an elf. Like if Richard Kind and an elf made love, you would have Adolph Green, I think.
Right. Just keep smiling and just keep going. And just, yes.
And Merv Griffin describes Ethel Merman's disco album as out of this world. And truer words, Merv, were never spoken.
That's just true.
And so anyway, I'm curious, do you have a favorite Julie Stein score?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Which is, it's so hard. I mean, there's like...
No, I mean, for me, it's the obvious choice. It's probably going to be Gypsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love all of his scores. I mean, he's one of my favorite composers. What's yours, Rob?
I mean, Gypsy, hands down. Funny Girl is a close second.
Funny Girl is definitely a close second.
Yeah.
I find that I would love to, and maybe someone's already written about this, but for years, I've often thought that he is the most interesting composer because I find that he is most affected by his collaborator. And that his output, I think, is so directly influenced by whoever wrote the lyrics with him. You know, his shows with Sondheim versus his shows with, you know, Compton and Green versus his, you know, Fade Out, Fade In, that's fantastic score, versus his shows with other collaborators, you know, Hazel Flagg, John Moss, I don't want to hear it. But like, you know, I mean, it's just the secondary ones are secondary. And yet it's not like Sondheim where you know a Sondheim score when you hear a Sondheim score. Well, he did the music and lyrics and he collaborated on the book. So it's a little different, but I'm fascinated with the effect that Sondheim had on Stein with Gypsy. And I'm fascinated with, you know, whatever, when Julie Stein had more of the power and didn't have people telling him, you know, try this instead. So anyway, I would love to see that sort of dissertation on Julie Stein and his collaborators.
I would love to see that as well. I'm trying to think. There was that Treasure Island musical, remember, that he was supposed to do in the 80s that never went anywhere. I'd love to hear it. If anyone's got a copy of that, I would love to hear that. But yeah, so mine is this Merv Griffin episode of Julie Stein Salutes. I think it's fascinating. It's just so fun to watch him work. He's so engaging as a composer.
And I know I've said this many, many times, but I love watching these older talk shows in the 60s and 70s because they were not prescient about what they were saying or doing, that anybody in 2020 would be watching this. You know, because now everyone who goes on TV knows that everything I say and do will be saved, uploaded, you know, a meme of some kind. And they didn't think that way back then. It was very much just being real. And I kind of love that.
I love that.
The rawness of it. Yeah. So.
Like when you watch Dean Martin like show up on The Tonight Show and he's wasted out of his mind.
Oh my God. Oh, well, the talk shows are the ones I love the most. Yeah. Like the Merv Griffin Show and like, what's his name? Rocky Horror. Who was the voice in Rocky Horror?
Dick Cavett.
Yes. Thank you. The Cavett Show. I mean, what a great interviewer.
He was marvelous. Oh my God.
But I love, you know, in the way he would work with musical theater Broadway people. Anyway, I love all that.
I agree.
All right.
What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is a cast recording. It's been on. I'm like so worried that I've already talked about this 2 years ago, but I don't think I have.
Bring it back.
I hope not. So my this is a cast recording of a show that never actually made it to Broadway. It was a show that was off Broadway in 2012. The Public Theater once again cultivating a wonderful new work by a composer that they come to all the time. So does Lincoln Center. This is a show by Michael John Lecusa. It is called Giant. Many of you probably know the film from the 50s of the same story based on a book by Edna Ferber from 1952. Now, Edna Ferber, of course, gave us many, many, many amazing stories. She wrote epic novels, you know, things like Showboat, which became a musical. Right?
Blossom.
She wrote another book for another Broadway show called Saratoga.
Saratoga.
Not as popular. Thank you for that. But she gave us a book called Giant in 1952, yes. And that was made into a movie. And then years later, in the aughts, it was made into a musical. And now what I find really interesting is that the grandniece of Edna Ferber, the original novelist, the grandniece approached Michael John Lecusa in the aughts and was like, hey, this would be a great story for you. You should write a musical of this. And if you know the book Giant or you know the film with Elizabeth Taylor, it's epic. I mean, it's not just like A Day in the Life of. It is literally three decades in the life of. It's an expansive story. It takes place in Texas. It takes place around 1922 all the way to 1952, so 30 years. It's about a rancher, a true blue Texan rancher, him marrying a woman from Virginia and bringing her back to Texas, and how it turns out he's sort of bigoted towards Mexicans, and which was common for some white people in Texas at that time.
Gosh, yeah.
And majorly. And so it's that dichotomy and then their progeny and their children coming up, and then his son marrying a Mexican woman, and it's just dealing with those sort of issues in that time period, and eventually learning to accept it. And then also the couple, Brick and his wife, Laura, just realizing that maybe they don't really know each other the way that they thought they knew each other. And it's just, life issues, but epic on a grand scale. So they did this in 2009 at the Signature Theater. It was commissioned there with a donor, which I'll talk about later. And then it was done at Dallas Theater Center in 2012, and then finally the Public Theater in 2012 as well. I got to say, this is one of my favorite Michael John Lecusa scores. You know that I'm a huge fan, and yes. I should say, and we should say that if you're curious about this writer, Michael John Lecusa, you can listen to our interview with him. I don't know how many months ago or years ago, but he scroll down and find him, and it was one of my favorite interviews that we've had for sure. The piece originally ran out of town like 3 hours and 45 minutes with three acts. So that's not typically how we do musicals anymore. And then they scaled it down to 3 hours when it went to the Public Theater. Brian D'Arcy James, Kate Baldwin, Bobby Steggert, I mean, like Michelle Pock, John Dossett. I mean, it was an amazing cast. But what really rocked me was the fact that Michael John created this score that has such Old West music, Mexican music. Well, it's very melodic. It's operatic in many ways. It's jazzy. It's majestic overall. And it's thanks to the orchestrator, Bruce Coughlin. He gave us Floyd Collins and Light in the Piazza. And I mean, he's an underrated, but very well-known orchestrator in our business. But I've been aware of his work since I was a kid, and I think he is just – it's sublime. It sounds amazing. This cast recording, I think, is something that should be listened to. Some songs to – if you were to pick three songs, here are the songs I would tell you to listen to. Mm-hmm. Brian D'Arcy James, first song, his I Want song, very much in the tradition of a musical theater show. Did Spring Come to Texas, to me, like, is it's about him coming back to Texas with his wife and how excited he is to finally, be with her in his home. And it's just and waiting for her to arrive. It's just a fantastic opening song. Kate Baldwin sings Your Texas, her experience of discovering what her husband's life is like in this place. That's a beautiful song. Kate Thompson sings a song that I feel like is in every audition room every single day in New York City, the song called He Wanted a Girl. So it's the character, the Texan, has his old flame who lives in the ranch next door, which is Katie Thompson's character. And he leaves her to go on and do his other things. And this is the song she sings about how, what their connection was like. And it's a fantastic song. So, I would just invite you all to listen to this great cast recording. Incidentally, in my research, and this is going to be another favorite thing in the future, this was funded by a foundation, which I've never ever heard of, and I think people who create theater know about this foundation, but it's the Shen Family Foundation. They are the family called the Shens. They are a husband and wife who have a foundation that, and I'm going to do another episode of this because I've gone down the rabbit hole and my mind is blown. But let's just say that they donate their money through their non-for-profit organization to writers of musical theater, with the goal not being a commercial release, but the goal being to develop the artistry and the
marvelous
the gift of it. They gave us Adam Gettle. They gave us Michael John Lacusa. They gave us Ricky Ian Gordon. They gave us cast recordings like The 110 in the Shade with Audra McDonald. This two-disc giant cast album, but multiple albums. They funded Stephen Sondheim's albums and his work. I cannot believe the work that this foundation does. So more on that on another episode. But for now, your homework is to listen to Giant, the cast recording of Michael John Lacusa and Sybil Pearson, the book writer who gave us Baby a couple decades ago. I know, we should be talking to her. She's on the faculty with Michael John Lacusa. They're both on the faculty at NYU, New York University's Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program. But we will definitely talk to her at some point.
Get on it, Sybil.
We will get on getting Sybil.
She knows about us. Right, Sybil?
You guys, listen to some Giant and then go Google the Merv Griffin Show.
Oh, have fun. Merv Griffin, he's go, ooh.
Anytime. Google, just Julie Stein special. Is that what you said?
Salute. Julie Stein salute. But yep. Also listen to Merv Griffin, because anytime he gets excited, he goes, ooh. He's alive. Scratch up. And he goes,
don't get too excited, Julie.
Julie. You people might remember out there there was a big scandal about Merv Griffin in the 1990s.
I don't.
Merv Griffin was married and had kids and dated a bunch of lovely women, and then a male person came out and said he was involved with Mr. Griffin.
Well, get it, Griff.
That was a scandal back then. Ooh.
Get it, Griff.
That's Merv Griffin finding out. Ooh.
All right, I'm going to go watch the special.
I'm gonna go listen to Giant. And then,
No, you're not.
I would listen to Giant. I love Brian D'Arcy James.
You don't listen to Wild Party, so I don't know why you'd listen to Giant.
I will listen to Wild Party when I'm
ready.
Good and ready. Okay. Good and ready. All right. Until next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.